906, good evening, I'm Mangino. What an amazing story out today. The Global Commission on Drug Policy. They have said that it is time for governments to end the criminalization of marijuana and other controlled substances. Now, this isn't just any group. We're talking about upwards of, 17 former heads of state. I'm sorry, 19 members on this commission. And these people include former U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan, former U.S. official George Shultz, who held cabinet posts under Presidents Reagan and Nixon. You're also looking at the former U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker, former presidents of Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, writers Carlos Fuentes and Mario Vargas Llosa, also UK business mogul Richard Branson, and the current Prime Minister of Greece, all saying in this report, it is time to decriminalize marijuana and other controlled substances. The idea is, if we were to do this, then you really take out organized crime, and instead of dealing with the crime aspect of this, you are then able to tax this and then use the dollars to then help people and treat them and then get them off of their addiction. You stop spending billions and billions of dollars on a war that we're never going to win. You turn it into a revenue generator, and then you treat these people in order to get them off of their addictions instead of putting them in prisons once you catch them. I mean, to me, this idea makes all the sense in the world to me. It really does. I think it's interesting that we're talking about people who years ago, when they were in office, when they were in power, would have been completely opposed to this idea, at least publicly, not necessarily privately. And what they're saying here, I think, is pretty interesting, too. Political leaders and public figures should have the courage to articulate publicly what many of them acknowledge privately, that the evidence overwhelmingly demonstrates that repressive strategies will not solve the drug problem and that the war on drugs has not and cannot be won. With us right now is Eric Altieri, Communications Coordinator with NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Eric, this has got to be music to your ears at this point, is it not?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful to hear, Robert. Finally, someone, at least in the international community, clearly doesn't have their head in the sand in the way that a lot of people here in our federal government do. And they're realizing that not only can we better treat and help reduce drug use and make our communities safer through decriminalization of these substances, but we can also greatly hinder all these huge criminal cartels that have taken over these foreign countries.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure why people are having such a hard time with dealing with this because, you know, all we're talking about doing is that those who were the users, not treating them as though they're criminals. I mean, the person today that steals from somebody else to satisfy their habit, their addiction, they get prosecuted. Well, they would get prosecuted if you decriminalize the usage. Would they not still get prosecuted?
Absolutely, that's correct. The biggest problem with these drug laws is that we're essentially making criminals of people before they commit a crime. Using a substance in the privacy of your home, particularly something as benign as cannabis, is certainly no crime. But when you would go commit a crime, if you say you were a heroin addict and you went to go procure the substance and you violently robbed someone, you would still be prosecuted under the full effect of the law.
Right. Do you see that this would be similar to the end of prohibition for alcohol?
This is an incredibly a giant parallel to the end of prohibition of alcohol. And you see it especially in the current marijuana movement in the United States. In the same way we ended alcohol prohibition, it was much a state-by-state basis early on. New York repealed their prohibition law and refused to enforce it well before the feds did.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing the states do that now with their medical marijuana laws and standing up to the federal government in that regard.
Many people are saying, okay, marijuana is just the first step. If we decriminalize that, then who knows? You know, once you go down that slippery slope, The next thing you know, we're decriminalizing everything, and people are having a difficult time with the idea of decriminalizing everything, you know, heroin, cocaine. I realize that as the communications coordinator for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, I'm wondering what your position would be when people would say, well, this is just going down that slippery slope, the very first step, and we can't afford to do that. Your response to that?
Well, I certainly don't see it as a slippery slope, and those of us at NORML don't. Whereas cannabis, compared to these other substances, cannabis has no known lethal overdose level. You can't possibly kill yourself by overconsuming cannabis. Whereas the other drugs, you begin to run into problems of chemical addictions and overdose rates.
Well, hold on a second, because you can overdose on alcohol.
That's correct.
Telling me that you just can't get that high?
It would be physically impossible. That the amount has never been measured by in any laboratory anywhere. It is impossible. You would sooner fall asleep in a bag full of Doritos before you could kill yourself on marijuana.
So no lab rat has ever died from an overdose of marijuana?
That's correct.
Interesting.
Whereas the common substances such as just aspirin and Tylenol, for instance, kill many people a year, but there is zero deaths from cannabis, which is why we view it as not necessarily legalizing another vice and allowing people to indulge in this drug use. We're simply giving them a safer alternative to currently available substances.
You know, what about people who would say, well, my goodness, if we legalize this, then people are going to start driving while they're high?
Well, I would really hate to break it to these people, but people are driving high now. And that's a crime now, and that will be a crime after legalization. Driving while inebriated will never be legal. And that really comes down to impairment testing. We need to find accurate ways to judge the impairment of drivers, be it from cannabis or alcohol or sleep deprivation. There's states like such as Colorado where after legalizing their medical cannabis program, they've seen drops in the highway fatalities. You would think that with all these legalization of cannabis consumers in the state that you would see a correlation with additional driving accidents if that were indeed a problem.
Mm-hmm.
California, and we have not seen that effect at all.
Well, what about concerns about drug tests? You know, right now you have companies that perform drug tests and would then have to make it to where those companies wouldn't be able to use that as a reason not to hire.
Well, drug testing is really a unique situation in and of itself, but it will never be also able to be inebriated on the job site. Employers will always have the power to enforce the regulations within the workplace. But it's about what you do on the weekends. Currently, we aren't testing people to see if they had a couple beers over the weekend. That's none of my employer's business. That's none of the government's business.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to adapt the same principle of cannabis.
Many people out there are listening, and people who are really opposed to this are saying, well, my goodness, if you're getting high over the weekend, you may very well still be high on Monday when you show up for work.
Seems to be a little blown out of proportion. To my regard, cannabis intoxication certainly does not last that long. And as well with alcohol, we have the same problem. It's no reason to make a substance illegal just because these complications arise, people breaking the law. We enforce regulations upon those people, and we make sure you aren't coming to the workplace intoxicated on any substance. And there's no reason to try to say that just because there is remnants of THC in your system that's high now or high even within the past 3 weeks. The drug testing, especially urine analysis, is just incredibly not a good way to judge someone as an effective employee.
Eric Altieri is with us. He's the communications coordinator for NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And we're talking about this new report out by the Global Commission on Drug Policy that is saying that it's time for governments to end the criminalization of marijuana and other controlled substances. Instead of treating it like it's a crime, treat it like it's a disease. You legalize it, you tax it, you knock out and you undermine organized crime syndicates, and then instead of incarcerating people who are users, you then help them to overcome their addictions instead. What do you think about that? 866-391-1020. 919, I'm Mangino. We're talking about a report out by the Global Commission on Drug Policy. It includes former heads of state like George Shultz, who held cabinet posts for Reagan and Nixon and their administrations. Also, former U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker and former presidents of countries like Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia. All saying it's time to end the war on drugs. We're not winning it. We're not ever going to win it. It just cannot be won. And right now, we are talking with Eric Altieri. He is the communications coordinator with Normal. And Normal, once again, is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And this is up on my Facebook page, and you're welcome to be a part of it. And Kirk said this: we didn't have a drug problem in this country until they were made illegal. It's time to end prohibition now. Kirk, your thoughts about that and your response to we didn't have a drug problem in this country until ultimately the drugs were declared to be illegal?
Well, we certainly extrapolated the problem, and we almost failed to accomplish any of the goals we set out initially. Whereas we set out to reduce use rates and to make our community safer.
Mm-hmm.
And what we ended up with is growing use rates that continue to grow, and we are militarizing our local police forces to commit what is often can be considered no less than domestic terrorism against our own citizens. And we're turning the average Joe, the average Jane out there, who just consumes a little bit of a substance over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
Which is a growing and growing population of the country, and we're turning them into criminals when they don't have to be.
Beth in Greene County, good evening. You're on KDKA. Hey, Beth.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Erica, I agree with you on a lot of what you're saying. But I'm concerned about one piece of what you're saying about legalizing pot, and that is the issue of addiction. I'm a psychologist, and I am also a child of the 60s. And so, first of all, in my social crowd, about half the people, if we're gathering, are going to choose to have a beer, and the other half are going to choose to have a joint. And to me, I see very little difference between those things other than that one is legal and the other is not. But in my crowd, most people who are choosing either of those things are going to drink or smoke responsibly and socially, and there are a couple of addicts in each category. And I think as a psychologist, when I hear this stuff that you can't get addicted to pot, I think what that does is it encourages... It doesn't encourage. It gives people an excuse to use on a daily basis.
Well, Beth, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
There are two aspects of addiction.
Right.
When it comes to the physical need to have the drug, and then the psychological side of wanting the drug, right?
Absolutely. And I think that if I know the research right, I don't think there's any physical withdrawal, physical need
mm-hmm.
with pot. And I get that, and I get that that's why Normal says it's not addictive. The problem is there absolutely, for some people, not for most people, in the same way that it's not for most people with alcohol, but for some people, they are going to build a psychological dependence on the substance. And I just want to beat my head against the wall when one of these people who is a daily user
mm-hmm.
tells me they're not addicted because you can't get addicted to pot. I don't think you're helping folks by saying this thing about it not being addictive when what it isn't is physically addictive. And it's
okay, let me give him a chance to respond to that. Eric?
Right.
Well, absolutely. I mean, what you're referring to is more of a habitual addiction, which we can see arising from all kinds of things. You have people who gamble to excess. You have people who play video games to excess. You have all kinds of addictions out there, and it really comes down to the issue of responsible use. And Normal or myself would never advocate someone to use marijuana to excess when it impedes upon your life.
Mm-hmm.
But as being a much safer substance than the recreational alternative of alcohol, it's a much better place to go for your recreational alternative. And if at least you won't have those health consequences if you use it every day, and
yeah.
then we can focus on the people who are using these to cover up something, a deeper problem. If you have a propensity to do an activity to excess that it negatively impacts your life, there's probably a lot more at work there and that we need to look at. And I agree that people that use that would absolutely need some treatment and some help.
Let me ask you this. You have two people. One person that has this psychological addiction to marijuana and they're a habitual daily user. And then you have somebody who's doing the same thing when it comes to alcohol. Which one do you view as a greater threat to society?
Is that to me, Robert?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely, alcohol. Alcohol is involved in a disproportionate amount of the sexual assaults and violent assaults in this country. And just look at, from common sense, we all know what people like when they imbibe on too much alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us know what people are like when they imbibe on too much cannabis. And there is a huge stark difference between the ballistic, very violent tendencies of those who overconsume alcohol mm-hmm. and those who sit around and listen to their Pink Floyd records while watching some TV.
Debbie in New Kensington, good evening. You're on KDKA.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to comment that I agree with Eric wholeheartedly. I can't stand cannabis, weed, marijuana, but I do know, as the mother of some young adults, that it's all over the place. There is no stopping it. It's just a ridiculous assumption that they're stopping this. Now, the problem is, it seems that I'm not for, I don't condone the use of it either. So I'm not happy that anybody's doing it, but I'm not an idiot. I went to college. You know when you smell it on your kid's friends or you smell it on your kid.
Right.
And I just want to say I would much rather it be regulated as cigarettes are regulated, that there is the age limit, that they check IDs,
yes.
that it's taxed, that there's that it helps the economy, because they are not going to stop the marijuana use.
Right.
And the problem is, what I don't like, knowing some of these kids that have gotten in trouble, and I'm not saying selling it, I'm saying that have their own personal amounts on them. Some kids get away with it. Some kids get caught. Their reputations are ruined. Then they're fined. It's like a moneymaker for the judicial system,
yes.
for the lawyers, for the court, for
bail
bondsmen. I mean, it's a ridiculous pain for anybody that has gotten caught having marijuana on them, when probably 8 out of 10 have it on them. It's just that the one unlucky guy got caught with it. And it's
Debbie, I wish I had more time, but you made a lot of good points. I got to wrap this up. Eric Altieri, communications coordinator with Normal. And once again, Normal is the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. Eric, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Great talking to you.
I'm Larry Richard.
And I'm John Shumway. Tomorrow on the KDKA Morning News.
The weekend is here. The Three Rivers Arts Festival underway. What you need to know at 6:10.
Ladies, you really don't want to miss this one. A guy has written a book called The Shocking Truth About Men. We'll tell you about it at 7:40.
I'm curious myself. We've got you covered weekday mornings, 5 until 9.
Mangino's with you now on News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Thank you, fellas. We are talking about the Global Commission on Drug Policy, and they have come out with a report that says that it's time for governments to end the criminalization of marijuana and other controlled substances. And we're talking about political leaders from all over the world, including the U.S. How about this one? George Shultz. He held cabinet posts under Reagan and Nixon. And he's a part of this commission with this report. You also have Paul Volcker, former Federal Reserve Chairman. And then you also have former presidents of Mexico, Brazil, Colombia. I mean, we're talking about countries that have drug problems. And it seems as though they couldn't admit that they wanted this thing to end back when they were in office. But now they're calling for the war on drugs to come to an end. And they all say in this report that the U.S. needs to take the lead on this one. They have to. The commission, especially critical of the U.S., saying that the U.S. must lead in changing its anti-drug policies from being guided by anti-crime approaches to ones rooted in healthcare and human rights. Now, we are the marketplace for the drugs. I mean, we are the consumers of the world for all things legal and illegal, especially when it comes to drugs. I mean, you talk about the drug wars that are going on right now at the U.S.-Mexico border, all the killing that's going on, thousands of Mexicans, hundreds of U.S. citizens. It's all over drugs. It's all over drugs. It's not happening over beer. It's not happening over liquor. It's not happening over wine. It's happening over drugs. And a lot of it just marijuana. So we have to ask ourselves, do we want to continue to fund this war on drugs, the billions and billions of dollars that we're spending right now on police officers, on attorneys, on judges, on prisons, the guards, the entire system. Do we want to continue to spend all that money and then get nothing for it, really, except for users incarcerated? What are we getting? If we were to treat this like the end of Prohibition, all of a sudden, you completely undermine organized crime the same way that we did with the end of Prohibition. Same way. Now, if an individual who wants their drugs steals from you in order to go and buy their drugs, that's still a crime. Okay? It's still a crime. Somebody is high on drugs and drives a vehicle and causes an accident, it's still a crime. We're not talking about decriminalize all related behaviors while people are using these controlled substances or associated with them. Listen, if you feel the need that you got to get drunk and you go and rob someplace to get a case of beer, you're going to jail. But beer is legal, right? We got to get to the point to where we finally get sensical about this, where things just come together and we apply some real thought to it. Now, fortunately, more and more Americans are getting to the point that we're on board with this. According to a survey that was done back in March, 42% of American adults say the federal government should legalize and tax marijuana for the purpose of helping the country deal with its fiscal problems. Boy, you talk about the money that would be saved by not spending it on the enforcement and then generated on the tax side. Huge, huge money. What's interesting is that most men believe in this. Only 32% of women agree with the idea. And politically, 65% of Republicans are opposed to the idea of legalizing marijuana. 65%. That means only a third are for it, maybe. I have a hard time believing that when it comes to marijuana use, only a third of Republicans ever used. I don't know about you. I just have a hard time buying into that one. Shouldn't we treat it like alcohol? We ended Prohibition and we're making money off of it. It's an industry. You have hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens that are employed because of it. It's a money maker. And we still expect people to do it responsibly. Can we turn marijuana into a moneymaker and still expect people to do it responsibly? With me right now is David Borden. He's the executive director of StopTheDrugWar.org. StopTheDrugWar.org. David, welcome to KDK. Good to have you on tonight.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I appreciate your time. What was your response when you heard about the Global Commission on Drug Policy calling for governments to end the criminalization of marijuana?
Well, we knew this was coming out, and we expected it to be something like this. I was very encouraged, though, to see that not only did they call clearly for ending prohibition of marijuana, but they also called for consideration, experimentation with regulation, legalization of other drugs as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is very encouraging to me to see opinion leaders, former heads of state, people like Richard Branson coming out and talking about this, because it's always been my view that one of the reasons legalization has, until recently, been a marginal issue politically is because most people have never heard the arguments of why prohibition causes many of the harms commonly thought of as connected with drugs. And so when people hear about this, hear about what kinds of people advocate decriminalization approaches, I think over time minds will open and we'll see a lot of support grow a great deal.
And David, why do you think that people are obviously able to look back on Prohibition and how it ended and the crime around Prohibition ended as well? Why do you think people aren't making that connection to the war on drugs?
Well, I think there's a lot of power in the status quo. It's the drug prohibition and the drug war. It's kind of the way things are, you know, unless you study history. And there's this artificial distinction that people have drawn between legal drugs and illegal drugs. I think it's mostly not having thought about it, not having heard people express, as you just did, the analogy between alcohol prohibition and how well it applies to, you know, the drug prohibition that we still have.
Yeah, I'm just having a hard time with the idea that I realize that during the time of prohibition, crime was rampant around it. I just have a hard time picturing that it was in any way worse than what we're dealing with right now with the drug war that's going on. And I'm not talking about the law enforcement aspect of this. I'm talking about drug dealers killing other drug dealers. I'm talking about kids not being able to walk the streets because they're concerned about, you know, stray bullets as people are shooting at each other. I'm thinking about the killings that are going on right now at the U.S.-Mexican border. How much worse does it have to get for people to recognize that this is the worst aspect of it? It's the fact that it is criminal. It's making all of this possible.
Well, you know, I think the key is just what these leaders in the Global Commission have done. You know, the human capacity to not think about the implications of the status quo is pretty deep, and there are justifiable fears of the effect of some of these drugs. In the case of marijuana, we're seeing, you know, support for legalization approaching the 50% mark because younger people are more familiar with it than older people, or more younger people are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the crime and violence of the drug trade is all of the illegal drugs.
Let me ask you this. Your website, once again, is stopthedrugwar.org. Would you see it as a victory if the U.S. government were to say, okay, fine, we're willing to do this with marijuana only at this point? We'll decriminalize the possession of marijuana. We're going to regulate it, and we're going to tax it. Will you accept that as a step in the right direction, or is it an all-or-nothing approach for you?
Oh, it would be a huge step in the right direction, and we don't expect to get everything all at once. And we, you know, I think the time for marijuana, when marijuana legalization can happen, is fast approaching. If you look at what the polls have done over the last few decades, and the Pew Center has produced some reports on this, you see, except for a blip during the Reagan years, you know, you see them approaching, just two diagonal lines, the support creeping up and the opposition creeping down, and they're very close now. Now, just getting a majority doesn't mean that we'll just win, because how things happen in politics is more complicated than
mm-hmm.
that, and people have to get active and push for things. Medical marijuana is a good example of this. It's still federally illegal, despite polls showing 70-80%. But, you know, so people, you know, people sign up with my group and others, and people keep talking about this. I can't say how many years it will take before marijuana is legalized, but certainly the 50% mark will be a huge turning point.
You know, one of the things that people have a difficult time with, once again, we're talking with David Borden, executive director of StopTheDrugWar.org, is the idea that those who are users are not arming just themselves. One of the things that this group is claiming, the Global Commission on Drug Policy, is that instead of punishing users who the report claims do no harm to others, and people see this and say, you know what, no, it's crazy. People who are users are doing great harm to others. Dave, when we get back from this break, I want you to address that issue, because I happen to agree with the report that if all you're doing is sit over in a corner somewhere and using, that's you. It's what we need to be concerned about is when you then go and engage in a criminal act against somebody else directly, not just sitting over in a corner someplace deciding to get high somehow. Stick around. More to come on this. 866-391-1020. 9:46. Coming up tomorrow, The KDKA Community Cruiser will be in Wexford looking for you. See thousands of cars tomorrow night at the Wexford Starlight Car Cruise. It's at the Northway Christian Community Church on Route 19. KDKA's Mike Bintek and Jeff Hathorn will be there this week. We'll see you this and every Friday night all summer long for the largest car cruise in Western Pennsylvania. Get details and directions at kdkaradio.com/starlight. We're talking with David Borden. He's the executive director of StopTheDrugWar.org. And one of the issues I want to address here, David, is this idea that those who are users do no harm to others. That's the claim of this Global Commission on Drug Policy. Can you explain to people why that is an accurate statement?
Well, in most cases, users, and this is particularly true of marijuana, but it's even true in most of the time for...
David, do me a favor. I'm going to put you on hold a second. For whatever reason, I kind of lost the signal a little bit. Jessica, would you check that? Maybe we need to do a reconnect and see if we can make that happen. Once again, David Borden is with us, the executive director of StopTheDrugWar.org. According to a recent poll done by Rasmussen, 42% of American adults say the federal government should legalize and tax marijuana for the purpose of helping to solve the country's fiscal problems. Legalize it, tax it. 45% disagree. So still, a few more people not liking the idea as compared to liking the idea. And I'm really having a hard time understanding the rationale for opposing it. I really do. I mean, you're talking about something that millions of Americans have used over the years. Millions upon millions of Americans have used when it comes to marijuana. And you can still have the laws on the books that prohibits people from driving while impaired. You can still have laws on the books that prevents people, it punishes people for stealing from somebody else in order to go and satisfy that drug habit. We're just talking about the users themselves. That's all. Just the users, that if they decide over the weekend that they want to get high, it's on them. We're not going to throw you in jail over it. And it's something else that the Global Commission on Drug Policy is dealing with, is the fact that they are convinced that the U.S. is the driving force behind this, that we have to lead on this issue. We are the world's number one consumer. We are the biggest consumer of these illegal drugs. We have the most disposable income. And we're the ones that need to change. And if we change, then, oh my goodness, the whole world can then change. Once again, David Borden is with us. David Borden, executive director of StopTheDrugWar.org. David, would you agree that when it comes to dealing with this drug war that they are saying that they want to see come to an end, that this is something that the U.S. has to lead on, that it isn't as though the rest of the world could then decriminalize it and then we not, and then get rid of all the underground economy and all the organized crime that's associated with it?
It's, you know, prohibition is a global system. There are treaties that all or, you know, almost all the nations are bound into, and you know, we, as you pointed out, we're the big market for these drugs, and even in a time when there are other world powers economically on the rise, the U.S. still has the largest share of international influence, and unfortunately, our diplomats use that on the drug issue to prevent most drug policy reform, even most incremental drug policy reform. So it will be hard to do it without the U.S. You know, the more, you know, there's a somewhat more open debate in a lot of countries, and you know, eventually I think it will break open here as well.
What do you think will come as a result of this report?
I've been in this for about 17 years, and we've always been waiting for the big thing that will make, you know, the whole, that'll last the whole issue wide open, the Berlin Wall of Prohibition falling down. I think it's going to be a contribution that moves the debate forward, and people are talking about it, and they'll talk about it some more. It's I think we have more building of the issue to do and building up the debate before we'll see a Berlin Wall effect. But I think it's a major contribution and an extremely important one.
Considering so many of these people that were on this commission, former presidents, former U.S. officials, it sure seems to me as though when they say political leaders and public figures should have the courage to articulate publicly what many of them acknowledge privately, that that's an accurate statement. That many of these people who are in office right now, if you were to talk to them behind the scenes in private, would probably go along with what this report says, but for whatever reason, they feel that the public is just not ready for this, and they're not ready to step up and make that stand. Would you agree with that?
There are legislators who've told me directly they agree with legalization, but they can't say that for political reasons, and so they're doing these other things to help the issue that are politically possible now. Other people have, one of my colleagues had a conversation with a senator in the airport who, said that he thinks all drugs should be legal. I hear these stories all the time, so it's true.
I'm wondering what is ultimately going to be the motivator for the American people to finally come around on this. Do you think it's going to be an issue where they finally get it and they've reasoned themselves through this process and they're saying, okay, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do this. Or do you think it's going to be, tens of thousands of people ultimately that die on the Mexican border? What do you think ultimately is going to bring the American people around to the idea that we ought to end this war?
Well, all these things you mentioned make a big difference. I personally believe it's things like this, what the Global Commission has done, people becoming familiar with the fact that some of the world's smartest people and very respectable people believe in legalization or something close to it. And here are some of the reasons. Over time, I think that will open minds, and eventually it will just make sense to a lot of people, as it suddenly made sense for me when I first into the issue.
David Borden, executive director of the website StopTheDrugWar.org. David, thank you very much for your time tonight. Do appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right, best of luck on the efforts in ending this drug war. I'm completely in favor of ending this thing. When you think about the amount of money that we're spending right now, I had a chance to sit down with somebody that works at the police department in Newcastle. They estimated that upwards of 80 to 90% of all the calls that they go on are drug-related. 80 to 90%. And we're not talking about just domestic issues. We're talking about criminal acts that are associated with drugs. I mean, do you realize how much money we could save in taxes if we decided to just decriminalize marijuana and other drugs? We could greatly reduce our police force and we'd be safe. We could save billions upon billions of dollars. Countless people's lives. I mean, those who are users are users. It isn't as though making it illegal is keeping large numbers of people from going out and trying this stuff. It's not happening. And just because alcohol was legal doesn't mean everybody drinks alcohol, right? There are some people won't touch the stuff. Other people, very casually, rarely if ever. I mean, I can get a case of beer to last me, for the most part, half a year. And then there are other people, they're big drinkers. I know a guy, he drinks his dinner every night. The same thing would apply to the drugs. It's time to end this war. This group is absolutely right. And hopefully, this will be the starting point of having that come about.